Welcome to the Athlete Plus Network. It's the official podcast network of the Institute of Coaching Excellence, a research and education outreach center at the College of Health and Human Performance at the University of Florida. I'm Kevin Carr, CEO, Protoceo, and industry professor, professional coach, and strategist at UF, and I serve as the host of The Hit Show, which means How I Transition. The Hit Show is a podcast devoted to talking to current and former athletes about their on and off the court, field, track, or diamond, and the unique people behind the scenes who support elite athletes, coaches, teams, and organizations, and their many career transition stories to educate our listeners and advance the profession of coaching and supporting athletes. It's going to be a great show today, ladies and gentlemen, because I have a former collegiate athlete, former pro sports executive, and now a senior administrator, Ashton Henderson, who's coming to us from East Lansing, Michigan, home of the MSU Spartans. But before we jump into the show, I have to give him his props. I'm going to give him a little bit of a bio. Ashton Henderson was a four-year letter winner for Michigan State football from 2006 to 2009. As a student athlete on the football team, Henderson saw action on both the defensive and special teams for the Spartan Dogs, as they call them. In his freshman season 2006, he returned a block punt for 33 yards for a touchdown versus Northwestern to help the Spartans fuel the greatest comeback in NCAA Division I-A history, as the Spartans rallied from a 35-point deficit for a 41-38 victory. Whew. Ashton holds 2 degrees from Michigan State, a bachelor's degree in advertising and a master's degree in public relations. He completed his master's of business administration at Florida State in 2019. Ashton's career began as a graduate assistant at Michigan State, so he's back home. Look, there's a lot in between, but what I will say is we have a great, great lineup. He's the proud son of Admiral and Jackie Henderson and the brother Antonio, all from Tallahassee. As the Spartan faithful like to affectionately say, and you can say this back to me right now, Ashton, go green and
go white.
See, if you're a Sparty, then you know how much meaning those four words have worldwide. Let me say this, that for me and my family, Michigan State really, really has a special place. It was a place of really good times for us. It was a place of many firsts. And let me say this, it was my first really big, 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 big job. I was Associate Director of Student Athlete Support Services. I opened the first Clarabelle Smith Student Athlete Academic Center. I was the Ombudsman for Student Athlete Services, and I was an adjunct professor in the Department of Kinesiology. All in my first big, big job. I told you it was big. Then I first got married and moved there from Florida to Michigan, brought my first home, won my first championship in basketball, and a Frozen Four in hockey. Man, that was a really, really nice place. And to cap it all off, we won the Division I Athletic Director's Program of Excellence Award for being the nation's best life skills program for student athlete support services, which actually, I can say, contributed to catapulting me to the NBA. Man, what an introduction. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Ashton Henderson. Welcome to the show, Ashton.
Hey, Kevin, thank you so much for having me, brother. It's always a pleasure to be in your presence.
Hey, we're going to have a great time with a real, I would say, powerful conversation around how do people make transitions and be successful as they possibly can in the sports business space, particularly collegiate sports, to pro sports, back to collegiate, et cetera. So you're the person that, in my opinion, has really done a really masterful job at going from different levels. A lot of people say, I want to work in college. A lot of people say, I want to work in pro. You have the distinction, sir, of someone who's done both, and it's not done. So I think we've got a lot yet to go for you. So can you start by sharing us a brief overview of your journey from being a student athlete to your current role as deputy athletic director for Michigan State Athletics? In particular, I want you to go into the detail of the specialized title that you have, because I don't think anyone else has it.
Yeah, absolutely, Kev. I'm just so blessed and I'm honored to be here today with you all. Ashton Henderson, I am a son of Tallahassee, Florida, as it was alluded to. at Michigan State University, I really introspectively found out who I was as a man and who I wanted to become. And through that, I established my values, which are integrity, faith, family, discipline, determination, and drive. As a former student athlete, I truly had a passion and a goal, as most former student athletes do, and current student athletes. They want to go on to the next professional level. You know, that was a really major goal and a focal point for me for quite some time. And that dream became less of a reality after I hurt my knee going into my senior year. And I really was wondering what was next. How was I going to effectively transition? And I'm so grateful for a mentor and a friend that we both share and who's near and dear to me to this day, Jim Pignatero, who is thus not physically with us, but he's here in spirit and he helps guide. And I feel like it's truly a full circle moment for me to even be back here. He saw something in me that I didn't see in myself after, you know, my transition from football. And he invited me in to be a graduate assistant under his tutelage and understand what it was like to be a Gruder All-Star like you and many others. And so he showed the footprint. And I remember this vividly. One day he said, "Ashton, you know, you need to meet a guy by the name of Kevin Carr. Everything Kevin does, you need to do and emulate." And I promise you, to that point, when you think about our career paths and trajectory, it has been everything that Kevin has done. I've tried to emulate in that way, but also put it, you know, my own flavor and fabric on things as I've moved and progressed. But once Jim saw that opportunity in me, I went to Florida State. Told you, I worked there for 2 years as an academic coordinator, which was awesome and really got some experience. But life is about relationships. And the gentleman who hired me at Florida State ended up leaving about a year into my tenure there, out of that 2 years, and went to Clemson University. And at that juncture, once he got set up, Steve Duzan asked me to come and join his team. And I was so grateful, took that opportunity head on and left Florida State, went to Clemson, worked there for 3 years, which was an incredible experience. Coach Dabo Sweeney, shout out to him. He remembered me back in the recruiting phase, and I did not choose Clemson. My mother wanted me to choose Clemson, little known fact, because she loved Dabo Sweeney. And I still have a great relationship with him to this day. One of the best people curators in the game and culture drivers, and someone who will still answer my call from little old Ashton. So I'm grateful for him and many other of my Clemson family. So I was there for 3 years, went back, got called back to Florida State. President John Thrasher, who is a dear, dear friend of our family, and he was looking for someone to curate a character development and leadership course. And me and my extensive background with character development and working with students, I was very fortunate to build this curriculum from the ground up. So we created what was thus called the Similar Leadership Program, which morphed into a one credit course and on so forth to help young folks transition and focused on character development, leadership, time management, social responsibility, and financial literacy. So to come back to you like clockwork, I haven't talked about that in years, but when you're passionate about it, it comes to you, man. So did that, got promoted over the years at Florida State to an assistant athletic director, and was working with the football program in the academic advising capacity, but solely got moved out of that role. Stan Wilcox, who is a dear, dear mentor and a great friend to me to this day, saw something in me to lead in the entire enterprise. Mm-hmm. And so got promoted to assistant AD at Florida State for student athlete development and leadership. Our life program, like Kevin, we were very fortunate to win the N4A Model Practice Award, which is essentially the best student athlete development program in the country, mm-hmm. which we were a part of, you know, not just me, but many others who worked tirelessly to ensure our student athletes had an unbelievable experience. Mm-hmm. So from there, I called Kevin again and I said, "Hey, man, I'm thinking about this opportunity in the NBA. And I told him where it was and what it was going to be doing. And it was for the iconic Detroit Pistons and their first ever chief diversity officer, both internally and externally. Had an unbelievable experience there, learned a lot about me and a lot of things that I didn't really know that I could do, really stepping out of my comfort zone. And that NBA experience helped catapult me to get back into what ultimately my goal is, to run my own athletics department. And I'm now thus back at my alma mater, came back as the executive associate athletic director for Championship Resources. I was in that role for a year. Then I was promoted to now serving as one of our three deputy athletic directors, Championship Resources. and culture, which I oversee 9 units and 10 direct reports. And one of those areas that I oversee is student athlete development and all things to enhance the student athlete experience. So I am truly thankful. Every stop, every trial, tribulation, every tough task, every small task, every minute task, all led me to where I am today. And it was people like Kevin and many others who uplifted me to see something in me that I didn't see in myself. And it's incumbent upon me to do the same for the next generation.
Wow. Well said. You know, there's so much there. I mean, I want to dig just real quick into the championship research. How did you all come up with that? And what, how does that transfer to the student athlete? Because to me, this is a signal that it's important to have resources to create this environment of championship type experiences, thinking, support, all this. Like, tell me where that came from and in a short format, and how is it working?
Yeah, you know, for me, I always give the citations and credit to where it's due. And I'm grateful for Alan Haller, his vision.
Yes.
Coming when being recruited back to come to Michigan State and work under his tutelage was something that really excited me. And once we were going through the kind of nomenclature of what this will look like, how can we set this apart? He said, hey, Ashton, what about championship resources? And that really stuck to me because typically what you'll find in our industry is championship resources has more of an external fundraising, development, those types of connectivity to the work. But this was about how do we make sure there's championships internally? Let's build within, then go out. You can't win a championship if you're mentally not in the right place. You can't win championships if you don't have the right nutrition. You're not being fueled properly. You don't have the best athletic trainers. You don't have the best strength and conditioning, athletic performance team. So without those individuals in that microcosm, you can't win those championships. So that's how that came to be. And I'm grateful that we continue to really pour the resources, raise the funds, and had a banner year and a fundraising aspect to do just that.
That's awesome, man. Just, you know, the creativity and that means, especially in the support side, a lot of times in sport, those things that are benefited in the non-revenue generating, they tend to not get the support. But as I'm hearing, you know, definitely Michigan State, that's part of how their success there. You have to have the resources behind it. It's so good to hear that. You know, your career has seen a transition from college athletics to the professional level and back to college. Can you give key insights or experiences or lessons you gained from each of those phases, particularly for these students who might be listening or somebody wants to do a career change? You know, how can we learn from these transitions you've made?
I would say the biggest difference for me from college to pro, and I'll be curious to hear what your perspective is, too, in terms of that.
Oh, you turned it back to me.
Oh, of course, man. You know I got to interview you, too.
No doubt.
Love it. But no, I would say it was the speed. You know, college athletics is moves very fast. However, I was in for a rude awakening when I got to the Pistons and realized how business functions happen. And I think part of me, to be honest, one of the things that I struggled with as I made a transition from college to pro was essentially always being ready for a barrier. In college, there's a lot of red tape, there's bureaucracy, there's politics, there's a lot of things that you have to manage. Whereas in a pro mindset, you are in control of your vertical and you run and you do your thing and you make things happen. And that's something where that helped me immensely in my growth to really understand the speed and how you can work with efficiency, but also bring people along with you. So I learned how we connect with corporate partnerships, not just what we're doing, but closing the deal that minute, not just going on and on, which helped me be a better businessman and understand our overall concept and how it tied back to the city of Detroit and the work and what you do and what's your call to action, not just to do something to be performative, but to lead the way in which I've been able to take those various soft skills from pro, where in college it's more relationship building, the opportunity to really see the transformation. However, I beg to differ that now my opportunity to step away to go to pro sports has helped me emphatically, even more so in this new day and age of NIL transactions, of opportunities, and how to really lever and sever relationships and sell a dream, but also have that business acumen that's necessary to really bring it all together. So I'm very thankful I did that, because without that, I would be looking pretty perplexed at how we're going to make this work. But I've seen the model already, and I know where we're heading from that direction, just being a visionary and thought leader.
Yeah, I would say those are spot on, man. I definitely feel you when you talk about the nature of collegiate is one that's a little more community driven, and they're going to make collective decisions that, you know, come from either committees, not just sort of one or two people deciding. And then you may meet again to confirm that, and it has to go to another level before it can get decided upon. I felt like, but what I definitely noticed with the pro was just the global aspect, you know, particularly in an NBA model, more so than some of the other leagues, that, you know, NBA has players from all over the world. They actually have offices all over the world. Their business strategy includes strategy from other offices and what they're going to be doing in Africa or Asia or Latin America or the UK. And I've had a little bit of hand in either, you know, going abroad and doing global games or, you know, going up crossing the border and working with teams in Canada and such. And, you know, it just was really a unique opportunity that moved quicker. So the second thing was speed. I would agree. And the competitive nature, very much a competitive environment. And I think people may not sense that from the outside, but when you're in it, you definitely have, particularly if you're in a league office and you're based in the Northeast and you're in a city like New York City, you're going to feel the competitive energy and flow and volume and, you know, the drive to innovate and to create conversion and to close on things and move things forward in shorter and quicker conversations and move everything at a faster clip. So you're right on, man. I would say those are some of my insights from having worked, you know, 14 years at a league and work across 30 teams, you know, almost 20 something G League teams and occasionally with the WNBA and the unions. Challenges, I would say, are, you know, no stranger to collegiate athletics in an athletic program. In your mind, what are some of the significant challenges you faced in managing athletic programs? This can't be all roses, man. And how have you addressed them, you know, when you have had to do that? And, you know, it's challenging because we know that you want to do a good job, but sometimes the work is there. So to navigate the balance between competitive success and overall wellness in student athletes is also important. So talk to us about the challenges there.
Yeah, I love the challenges of the job. It actually ensures that we continue to stay employed, to have those opportunities to really leverage those experiences head on. And I think for me personally, college athletics is in a truly transformational time, you know, in terms of things we've been dealing with for many, many, many decades that are finally coming to a head as it relates to various antitrust lawsuits, you know, various opportunities with NIL, revenue sharing, things of that nature. And I think, you know, one of the things that I'm excited about is how do we band together to not necessarily continue to be a part of an issue, but make sure that solution-oriented opportunities and strategy is being really intertwined with new age and how we think about things differently. And I believe this new day and age in terms of with student athletes and really how it's festering down to high school, middle school, of what the expectation will be now as it relates to coming and repopulating an athletic department. So number one, it really takes the ability for collaboration. I think you solve any problem when you reach across the aisle. We have our management, our verticals and things that we do well, but there's folks who have a different slice of genius who can help us. I've really leveraged and leaned into my campus partners, researchers, folks that, you know, I need help to understand where the gaps are because data doesn't lie. And I think data helps you make value-based decisions, but also decisions that help impact the next generational outputs of what we want to see. So I would say collaboration with campus is key. I would say another component to solve issues is allowing us to be and have an open mind to understand what the root cause of what issues are. And that stems from having a dialogue with your student athletes regularly about, hey, what are your thoughts on NIL? What is the landscape? What do you know about the ins and outs of this and how you can be best serve or what are the opportunities? And I think we don't do that enough as administrators. We make a lot of decisions with them out of the equation, but having them at the table has really changed the game in a lot of different ways. And I think thirdly is just really being able to adapt. You're looking at all these strategic plans and tactical plans and all these things that we've done in the past to help steer us forward. And, you know, I was a former president of M4A, which is the largest affiliate under the NACTA umbrella. And I was on a call for past presidents this past week. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I challenged our group to think about, is this the year to truly do a 5-year strategic plan? I would argue that it wouldn't be, because we don't know and have the all of the particulars or the information to make the informed decision to know where we're going to be in the next 5 years.
Well, I certainly know there's challenges, but, you know, looking ahead, what do you envision the future college athletics, like any particular trends you think evolving and sort of like ensure your programs to stay relevant for today's athletes?
Absolutely. I think it goes back to that last point of being adaptable. And I think for me, you know, always trying to stay on the cutting edge and provide innovative approaches to all I do and anything I do. I think too, the revenue component of ensuring that you have those championship resources to continue to make yourself attractable and provide real-time examples and exposure to those athletes. One of the ways that we've been able to be relevant in this 21st century climate of our student athlete market is we've come up with a trip called the EXP Tour. Mm-hmm. The EXP Tour is an initiative. And again, I give credit to where it's due. My dear friend and colleague, Paul Shager, a marketing guru and genius. Paul came up with that concept of EXP, which stands for exposure, expansion, and experience. So we're taking our student athletes to various cities, and there's a vision there, right? So we started in Detroit, in the mecca of where we are, in the center of the mitten. Shout out to the Lions, too. Excited about that experience. We got our students there. This year, we're going to Chicago. The next year, in 2025, we'll go to New York. In 2026, we want to take them to London, going abroad. But all of the things we do have a vision, a purpose, a goal, an objective to spell that out, to keep them ingrained and excited about where we're taking them, but also how it benefits them culturally, socially, to have that experience.
Oh, man, those types of experiences are life-changing. They are ones in which people will never, ever forget. And to have that opportunity to be behind innovating, I love the 4-year, almost an advanced strategy. It seems like, or at least 3 to 4 years that you guys are thinking ahead. So that's a great way to mature thinking and to help people understand the world isn't just right here, what they see in front of them. It's much bigger and always has much more depth than we give ourselves the opportunity to do. But things like this help open people up, and you never know how much people will change or have been impacted by doing something like this. I really wish a lot of student athletes had the chance to not just come to campus and compete as well as get their degrees and education. But if they could take a minute and do the abroad programs, those would be amazing. And I'm saying outside of just where you go to school, Chicago is amazing, all those other places you mentioned, to be able to do this. So kudos to you guys for doing that. And it sounds, you know, like there's a lot here. As a leader in the athletic department, how do you approach leadership? Do you have your own set of mentors who significantly influenced your approach to your roles and how you lead your life personally and professionally?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, I've been very, very blessed to have some amazing leaders who continue to pour into me daily, weekly, monthly, however our cadence is, that I make sure I stay connected to those folks. Some of those folks who have continued to be a bridge in a lot of different situations for me. So grateful to all of them. I'm not going to name any names to still get myself in trouble. Just too many people who are part of the Ashton Henderson Village and continue to be in a variety of different ways. But for me, learning and taking and really commandeering a lot of those qualities from those individuals have led me to my own 3C model. My first C is culture. There's a quote that I love by Peter Drucker. And the quote essentially is this: culture eats strategy for breakfast. Essentially what that means is every day, how you build your culture, how you're intentional about it, what you do to ensure that folks feel heard, valued, and seen, and you make sure folks have a safe haven and a space to be who they authentically are called to be, you have an unbelievable way of people, how they really lean into what you're trying to build there. The next C is communication. You have to thoroughly communicate with folks, but here's the best part. There are 5 generations in the workforce. All of us really understand and really encode and decode information differently. So it's important to know if someone prefers email you know, various text messages, how you communicate informally, formally, nonverbals, verbals truly matters to people, and keeping them informed and keeping them on task with your vision. And the last C is connectivity. And without that piece, what we're really truly here for is serving the student athletes. We can't be what we say we want to be. And that's something where those three C's help me as a leader continue to have tough conversations. I would say I'm an affiliative leader, which means I value the experiences of my team. People first, task second. However, I can flex to be an authoritative figure to ensure that we get things done and holding folks accountable. But I think those levels and those three C's are something that my team would be able to eloquently tell you who I am and how I'm going to show up as a leader every single day and support them.
That's quite a bit of a great forward-thinking strategy to have your own. I think, you know, part of it is taking the time to know that, to even say to yourself, hey, I need a system, a process. I need to be deliberate or intentional. You know, a lot of people are wondering, to some degree, young people, as well as they get their start, what kinds of things can I do to get to know myself instead of just following? I think it does take that time. Can you give some context on the three C's, why you felt like you needed to do that for yourself?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm very, very fortunate. I'm a part of the NCAA Pathway program right now, as well as Lead One. And both of those programs are really an introspective opportunity for you as a leader to find out, primarily Pathway, to really find out who you are as a leader and what you want to be portrayed. And if anybody wasn't in the room or your staff or something, you couldn't be at a meeting or how things should run or flow, that opportunity has presented itself. Pathway is a year-long process where you're connected with 20 other individuals who aspire to be and will be athletic directors or conference commissioners. That's what we're all striving to do. And it's awesome because as a believer, Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. And that's what we're doing every single day, is handcrafting our vision statements, handcrafting our missions. And one of those opportunities for me came this summer, and it was an epiphany as it relates to, I love culture. Without it, the terrain and what we're trying to build, if it's not right, no matter if you have all the money or infinite resources, if your culture isn't right, you're not going to have the necessary opportunities to make the real true change. So that was something for me. And then obviously communication, my graduate and undergraduate degrees are in comm art science. And that's something I value, to ensure folks always know where they stand and see your vision, and you bring them along and you coach them along and allow them to be a part of that too is important. And the connectivity piece is just keeping the main thing at all times, which is our students, their well-being and their healthcare and how we treat them, how we honor them. And I'm so thankful right now. I have two student athletes. One has already started. They're interning with me just to see what I do and shadowing me. And one day last week, I told the young man, I said, hey, it looks a little light today. You may not want to come in. And he said, no, I'm coming in. And I'm gratefully did, because what was light at the time turned into six meetings that he got to be a part of and saw a really behind the scenes look into athletic administration, which inspired him to think about going back secondary education to do what I did, in order for him to, you know, be in an opportunity to be an athletic director. So you never know who's watching. You never want that opportunity to pass you by. And that's something that I take complete ownership of, to provide opportunities to other folks in any time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about balancing academics and athletics and, you know, even experiential as an athletic department. How do you approach giving students who are as busy as athletes, you know, chances to lead beyond sport, and having leaders who recognize those things need to be in programs is quite significant. It's not always the case. There's not always the time to even put someone in that kind of place, because I imagine it's not just like, hey, I'm picking you and you come to work. No, there's a process behind that. Sometimes you have to compete for that role. And sometimes there's a lot of people in line to do that, or this year we're not going to do that program because of budget. So there's a lot there that athletic departments can do. And I'm glad to hear that you guys are building at least certain ways. And not every student probably will do this, and not every student may want to do this, but there is some sense that there are support mechanisms to help balance the athlete to prepare him or her for life after sport, I imagine. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And that's a major passion point for me, to ensure that we are equipping our student athletes. And that's something that we just cannot let that wane or waver at any point, because of what the access, the opportunities that student athletes have in this day and age through NIL, through marketing opportunities, through sponsorship, through licensing. You can't use those soft skills that help you change the trajectory of your life. There's something about a handwritten note. There's something about a follow-up or a text or a call or email or just checking on somebody because it's January 16th. Not because you need anything, not because you want anything. Mm-hmm. It's more so just being a good human. Yeah. And that's something that I'm truly trying to embed in the students I come in contact with, because you never know where life is going to take you and who you're going to need, or the areas of which who they know and can help be a resource to you along the way.
You know, Ashton, you say things with the level of sincerity and dexterity that I really think is important to have. It's not something that happens overnight for any leader. Your vocabulary, your depth of knowledge is, you know, really, you know, even since you and I started, when you first started, is a clear definition that you've gone to the lab and you've been putting in work. So, you know, advice for aspiring athletic administrators, for those wanting career in administration, what advice would you offer based on your own experiences, you know, and current ways in which you think sport is going? How can you help give them some insights, because you've really improved and gotten better? At least I know it doesn't always feel like that, but I sense that you are, you know, on a really good trajectory here.
Yeah, I consider myself to always be a student of the game. And what I mean by a student of the game is I always learn from any interaction, any encounter, anything that I'm a part of. I try to take something away from it and apply it to just various cycles of life that I'm in. I would say the biggest thing as up and coming professional that really, truly helped me was getting involved in N4A, as well as the NACTA and affiliates, all the 18 different opportunities that there are to really lean and understand how this ecosystem works. What I mean by that is there's an organization for anything that you're interested in, whether that be development, academic, student athlete development, facilities, event management, marketing, tickets, you name it. There's a vertical for it to you to learn and have access to amazing leaders that are willing to teach you and show you the way, as well as I would say there's awesome programs that the NCAA puts on, like NCAA Emerging Leaders. That's something, the Emerging Leader Seminar is an unbelievable opportunity to get involved in. There's a Career in Sports Forum. A shout out to the NCAA Leadership Development Team. That's their job. Every single day they go to work and are hyper-focused on how they can make the association better, not just for Division I, but Division II and III as well, which Division III is actually the largest association vertical under the NCAA, which a lot of folks don't necessarily know that. Those opportunities to continue to grow. I try to read 10 pages a day of something. Books, have a trend in Google Alerts on anything that's happening in our industry, which helps me continue to be not know all things, not omnipresent, not omnipotent, or however you want to couch it, but enough to be dangerous and have a conversation with anybody about anything that's going up in our industry.
Love it. Enough to be dangerous, for sure. To hold your own, I think a big part of how people, you know, we're so used to kind of having information downloaded to us. But I think a big part of your success is showing up. You are a person that will be willing to go and to really still show up. Do you think that's out of style with all the virtual and all the things that you can experience on demand? And you don't really have to go anywhere. Or do you think it still matters, us showing up and being present and, you know, really shaking that hand, looking somebody in the eye, and being prepared, you know, doing the little things that people used to do, you know, maybe dress a little bit more? Or is it more like we're getting into some other areas? Because this is, you know, a part of this. We've got students listening. We've got, you know, people who want to be career changers. What's your thought about showing up?
Yeah, I think showing up is half the battle. But not only showing up, but showing up with the intent to get something out of whatever you're showing up to. Coming with a purpose, leaving and understanding that where you're walking into are rooms that you want to continue to allow and provide a pathway to others to come through that door as well. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm grateful. You know, COVID really allowed us to pivot and really understand how the virtual connectivity and work could be successful and be sustainable. But there's nothing like meeting someone in person, really seeing their body language, connecting with them, really making that lasting impression. In 7 seconds, you make 11 impressions on someone. So what does that encounter look like for you? What do they remember? What do they gain from you? What mm-hmm. value add did you give them? I'm not just saying going in the lobby and just passing out your card like it's Monopoly money. That's not meaningful.
No.
What's meaningful is really being intentional about who you are, what you're trying to do, and how you can go about that. And that's something that I'm grateful through my presidency at M4A, I was able to usher us back from virtual to an in-person. And as I mentioned, the NCA Emerging Leader Seminar since 2021 has been virtual. So this year is the first time I'll be able to connect with these young people, over 200 of them, who want to be SIDs, who want to be in marketing, who want to be academic advisors, student athlete development professionals, all these different verticals, to help them look them in the eye and share my story and make it more meaningful instead of looking through them through a screen. That's going to be one heck of a reunion here in February to do that.
Well, man, congratulations on that. I saw that you're going to be leading that, and no, not a better choice. Someone who certainly has done quite a bit, and your body of work is still yet to be done. So now we're getting closer to the end here. We're going to jump into the speed round. I'm going to take it up a notch to you. This speed round is you giving short one word or close to one word responses and having a little fun. We're going to see a little color come out here. You ready, Ashton? Ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Speed round now begins. What is your favorite quote?
Ooh, Nelson Mandela. Education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world.
Excellent. Who is the most inspiring coach or player you've worked with?
Man, you don't get me in trouble, but let's go with Kirk Cousins here. One of my teammates who's current Minnesota Vikings quarterback.
Yeah, I've heard him.
QB1.
Yeah.
Amazing dude.
Yeah, he certainly lights it up in terms of how he feels about his faith and his walk. So congrats on that one. That's a good one. What is the best advice you've received in your career?
I think bloom where you're planted. That was something that was shared with me, to don't be in a rush to make decisions or compare yourself to another individual. Run your race. Bloom where you're planted.
Name one thing off your bucket list that you want to accomplish this year.
I want to be an AD this year.
Wow. Okay. That's a big one. What is a philanthropic cause that's important to you?
I would say I'm a member, where Kevin and I disagree, I'm a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. And one of my biggest aspects is our Guide Right program and helping young men continue to be excellent, humane humans and contributors to society. So the Guide Right program for Kappa Alpha Psi.
Awesome. Awesome. What is your dream travel destination?
Oh, man. Bora Bora, for sure. That's on the list.
Mm. What is the title of the last great book you read?
The Secret Game. That book was about the life and biography of John McClendon by Scott Ellsworth. Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. Amazing. It's about the life of John McClendon in The Secret Game, which is this year's the 80th anniversary of The Secret Game and a racial barrier, and talks about that. Amazing book.
All right. Describe yourself in 5 words.
Integral, faithful, hopeful, humble, and loving.
Oh, man, you got it down. What a speed round. So we're going to close, but I'm going to give you 2 last ones. Personal legacy. What would you say, looking at your career thus far, what legacy do you hope to leave behind in the realm of collegiate athletics, if you were to say right now?
Yeah, I would say for me, as someone who's created and sustained some unbelievable opportunities for student athletes, for programming, just something that they could really know that there was theirs, that they had a buy-in in, and something that when I come back here and visit in the next 5-10 years, or that it's still going and it's still in place. So I've made a great foundational point to do that.
Awesome. And my last closing thought for you is, finally, as we conclude, is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience about your journey, the insights, or the future for you or for sports and entertainment and business?
Yeah, I would say, you know, this is an unbelievable time to be involved in intercollegiate athletics. We need folks with innovative mindsets, backgrounds, socioeconomic status, no matter what that looks like for you. If you're a dreamer, this is the profession for you. If you're someone who truly values what it looks like to help make a difference and to change the trajectory of someone's life, this is still the industry for you. And there are so many opportunities within athletics that you can find yourself in and be involved in. And it's just such a rich, you know, every day I walk into this space, it's not work for me. You hear that, that seems cliche, but I'm making a difference in someone's life, whether it's a staff member, whether it's the custodian, whether it's anyone that I come in contact with. I made them better because of how I showed up and how I treated them and how I always try to go above and beyond what I'm called to do, because that's what true mentorship is all about, as you, Kevin, do for many, including myself, every single day.
And what a thoughtful closing here. And I would say, you know, it is true. You know, we're in one of the most disruptive periods I've ever seen in the history of collegiate athletics. In our modern lifetime, I don't know if we'll see as any more big of a change as we're going through now. And it's just getting started. So what does that mean? There's lots of room at the table for thinkers and innovators and developers and creators, people who want to be on the entrepreneurial side, people who want to work in systems and colleges and university. If you have the desire and talent, there's room for you. I still believe that. And your best doesn't have to be at Division I-A level. There are multiple levels here. And I think sometimes we lose the fact that if you're not at a big Power 565, you're not doing it. And that's the furthest from the truth. So I think for a lot of us, if we can, you know, have perspective here, you mentioned it earlier, bloom where you're planted. I think when people decide to, you know, really lock in and really get good, you begin to have a reputation and it precedes you. I do know that you can grow a career just about anywhere if you know how to work and you are consistent and you, like I said, treat people fairly, that travels and people talk about you and people recommend you, and you, your voice or your work is in rooms you aren't in. So I think sometimes we lose sight saying, I'll never get there. And I think sometimes we just need to be patient and allow ourselves to really get there. So Ashton Henderson, thank you, thank you, thank you for being on the Hit Show today. And the University of Florida thanks you. We would love to stay in touch with you. So we want people to follow you, consume you, support you. How can we do that? Let us support you, please.
I appreciate it, Kevin. All platforms are the same. Brand cohesion is real. So A_Henderson31. You can find me on Instagram, X. Is where I normally live on my social platforms and things of that nature. And also LinkedIn, definitely just my name, Ashton Henderson. Would love to connect, would love to help in any way, shape, or form that I can, and continue to add value to your experience.
We're certainly going to post this episode and we'll have it out for you to put out to your community. So everyone hears your story and we hope you will do the same for your community. Athlete Plus Podcast Network and Institute of Coaching Excellence Initiative under the College of Health and Human Performance at the University of Florida. I'm Kevin Carr and I host the show, but I'm also the CEO and curator of Pro to CEO, a sports transition firm for athletes and execs and organizations looking to create transformational leadership and business in their work. So you can follow us and support what we're trying to do, help all athletes and organizations at pro2ceo.com. And you can contact us by hitting the contact link in our bio. The Hit Show doesn't end without giving our guests the signature outro. So Ashton, take it away.
I am Ashton Henderson and you just tuned in to The Hit Show.
Awesome. We thank you and we appreciate you. And you have listened to his many successful transitions and more to come on The Hit Show. Thank you, Ashton, and we're out.